Okay, so let's look at the problem of the day. The problem of the day said, which actually I believe was on the homework, is that right? Or
yes,
okay, so hopefully it was easier the second time around. But it says, given an efficient algorithm to determine whether two sets of size M and N are disjoint. Okay, and it says, analyze the complexity of your algorithm in terms of M and N. Be sure to consider the case where M is substantially less than N. Okay? So what do we know? We know that M is much less than N. Now we want to tell if the two sets are disjoint, right? You've got a little set here of size M, big set of size N. How do we test if there's any element that's common? Let's take a look at some possible solutions and see what their cost is. Someone want to propose a solution?
Okay. How about sorting both?
Sorting both sets, okay? How much time will it take to sort both sets? How much time does it take to sort a set with n elements? N log n. It's probably, I don't know if we haven't actually really proved that yet, okay? But I think you know that from previous slides. Okay, so you can now sort both of the sets. And now what do you do once they're sorted?
Compare them.
Compare them what? Okay, well, what do you mean? Take the elements from one set and search from the other. Well, okay, first of all, if you're doing searching like that, what does it help you to have two sets sorted? First proposal was sort two sets. Okay, yeah. So another way you want to do, what you want to propose to do actually is a little different. You want to sort n, take the n plus n elements and sort them. Okay, so that's the algorithm that you want to propose, right? Sort them all and do this. Okay? Your algorithm was to sort them separately and then do what?
Then do the comparison.
Do the comparison from the top, maybe like merge them basically. So the smallest, now that they're both sorted, the smallest element in this set, if it's going to be in the other set, it's got to be the smallest element on the next set, right? So by looking at the top of both lists, you can merge the sets, essentially. Does everybody agree with this? That if I have a set here that's sorted of length n, and a set here of sorted of length m, I could merge those two sets in order n plus m time by finding the smallest of the two on the top. That one's got to be first in sorted order, right? I now delete it, and I now repeat with the top of the remaining list. In two comparisons, I'm determining the next smallest element in sorted order. Does everybody agree with that? So if I can merge two sorted lists in order n plus m, the algorithm that I think he's proposing is sort them and then merge them. And his algorithm is going to take that much time. Any questions about how the merge procedure works? This merge procedure is a very useful thing to do. So does anybody, who here does not understand why the merge procedure was linear? Okay. Who here does understand why the merge procedure was linear? A few people still not seeing the happy faces. So what are we saying if I have two long lists? One is of size n, one is of size m. This is m, n, this is m. What we're going to do is merge them in sorted order by taking the root of the first element that's sorted. If this is sorted and this is sorted, the smallest element in this list is on top, smallest element in this list is on top, right? Overall, smallest element is one of these two. By doing that one comparison, I can identify which one is globally smallest. Delete that from the list or move my pointer down and repeat that argument. So for each comparison, I'm getting one more element in sorted order. Does everybody sort of agree with that? That's how I merge in linear. Two sorted lists can be merged in linear time. Once they're merged, it's the same as this other algorithm. Right? Does everybody able to see that? Any other strategies for searching, merging the sets? Yes.
Sort the markers,
So you want to sort the larger set. How much time is that going to take? And then what do you? What are you now going to do? So what's the time of that going to be? The log n per search. M log n. So I see three proposals. Any other way to test that the sets are sorted? Or yeah? You want to group force it in n times n. Okay? Does anybody else have any option for how to measure the two sets? Yeah? Let's say the elements in the sets are unique, okay? Which is why this kind of a trick, this algorithm has a hope of working. If the elements in one set were not unique, then we would have that problem, okay? So we agree this would not be correct if the elements were not unique, but let's say they're unique, okay? Anybody, yes? Okay, so you want to now instead do sort the smaller one, m log m, plus what would that now be? N log m. Okay? So you're sorting the smaller of the two, and then doing binary search on this. Okay? What? M? Wait, your binary sort, you're sorting the smaller one. That's M log N. M log M. This is M and M. That's sorting the small one. Right, this is a little M. Okay? Then we're going to do N binary searches in there. Right? That's N log M. Right? So now we've got how many different options here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Asymptotically, how do they compare, right? Does anybody want to propose any other algorithms for doing it? Okay. Which one of these is worse? Okay. Everyone, I think, sort of will agree that this one is quadratic. Okay. Let's now see, can we compare these two? Which one of these is bigger or worse? Okay. The important thing to see here, so big O wise, which of these is worse? Let's do some kind of analysis. The important thing to see here is that, at least for me doing the analysis, if M, I want to claim that N plus M is equal to big O of N. Why is that? Because N is, we agree that M is very, very small relative to N, right? What is the or is at least less than it? What is the most that M plus N can be? What? 2N, right? Everybody agree with that? So let's maybe remove this some of these M plus Ns and replace them by sort of ONs, right? That might be easier to think about. So this is now an O of N. This thing here is what? N plus M, what is that? N times log N. Okay? This one is N times log N plus M log N. How does M log N compare to N log N? M log N is certainly cannot be bigger than this, right? So this is the dominant term, right? So we can sort of erase this from our consideration. Correct? That this dominates that. N log N is always going to be bigger than M log N. So the sum of them is at most twice that. So big O wise, we can get rid of this, and we can also get rid of this. Okay? So which one of these two options was better? They're the same. Right? Okay, and this one, we could also get rid of N times M. Which one of these is bigger, better? N times M or N times log N?
it clear which one is better? Actually, I'll say it's not clear which one is better. Right? What if m was equal to 1? What if you wanted to find an element where one of the arrays, you know, one of the, you had a list of 1 element versus n elements? Which was better? Yeah? If m is bounded by n, this is at worst n squared. But I'll tell you that if I gave it this for a very small m, suppose I ask you to do the job, okay? And in fact, you look at these things, you tell me that m was 1 and n was large. Then you're better off doing this than doing that. Right? Does everybody see that? So it is not clear that this is dominated by this. Is it? Okay, you have to keep your eyes out. It depends upon the relative values. If m is small enough, namely if m is smaller than log n, this is potentially better than this. Does everybody agree with that? Okay. But we still got a couple of other guys on the board. Which is better here? This is what? This is going to be n plus m log n. And this is going to be what? N plus m log m. Which one of these is better? First of all, what can we do to simplify it? It's going to be basically n log n. This is going to be n log m. So which one is this one? How does this one compare with our regular sorting one? Same thing. What about, though, n log m? Is n log m better than n log n? Certainly it can't be worse, right? Does everyone agree that n log n certainly can be better than n log m, right? Okay, and n log m can be better than... Suppose m was 1. This would take linear time. This would take n log n time, right? So I will claim that this one is better than all the n log n's. Is it better than the n times m1? Yeah. Right, because certainly log m is better than m. So this is, in fact, the best of the ways to do it. Okay? Does everybody sort of see that? Yes?
Why in the first case did you just get rid of the m log n? This is sometimes really small.
Wait, which one did I get rid of over here?
Yeah, you said m log n plus m log n.
But n log n plus m log n. Okay, what is that? I'm going to factor out the log n. That's going to give me n plus m log n. Right? This, I claim, is going to be less than or equal to 2 log n. 2 n log n. Does everyone agree with that? And this then means I can slap an O of this. Again, I should be slapping an O around everything. Okay? Okay? Any questions about that? Okay? So in fact, the right thing to do was to sort the smaller of the arrays and then look it up in the smaller array rather than the other way around. Any questions? Okay? So again, these sort of basic sorting things, you know, they're somehow very simple. You've known about sorting for a long time. You know about binary search. Think about what the right way to use it and apply it is not always trivial. Okay? And the right way to do it is you have to work out these things, you know, carefully. Okay, see what your options are, work them out. Okay? Any questions? Okay? Now, I don't immediately have a proof that this is not the best possible way to do it, but I'm pretty sure that that is. And in fact, maybe if we get to talking about lower bounds on problems. But this is really the best of our options. Let's leave it at that. Any questions? Okay. So,
any other questions, just to make sure? Okay? So good. So, okay, so we now know about the problem of the day. What else do I want to talk about? Well, I want to talk about sorting. Now, we've talked about, you know, one thing that I think, how many of you have seen sorting in at least one class before? Raise your hand. Everybody. How many people have seen sorting in at least two classes before? Everybody raise their hand. How many people have seen sorting in at least three classes before? Okay. How many people have seen at least four classes before? Okay. Some people are saying a lot of, still holding up a lot of hands, okay? Why is it that people like to talk about sorting? Okay, the truth is that sorting is, at least for me as an algorithms person, first of all, it's an amazingly powerful tool. Notice how we used it here. A lot of different algorithm problems magically reduced to sorting. Okay? So a common thing, a good thing to do when you have an algorithms problem and there's nothing else here, you're stuck, ask yourself, well, what can I sort? Okay? That's what, you know, it's better than saying nothing. Okay? Sorting is an amazingly powerful algorithm design tool. And once you sort something, you can solve lots and lots of different problems with it. There's two reasons why we talk about sorting algorithms. One is because sorting is a useful thing as a step for other algorithms. The second is the sorting gives us an excuse to talk about certain algorithm design ideas. All the different sorting algorithms, you may ask, well, why do you need to know so many sorting algorithms? You only have to sort it once, you know, one way. Why do you need to know all these different ways? The main reason is as examples of different ideas of algorithm design. Okay? So when I talk about what is the importance of heap sort, I claim the thing to know about heap sort is really telling you about the power of data structures. Okay? And when you talk about what is the power of quicksort, well, quicksort is going to tell you about the power of randomized algorithms. And what is the power of merge sort? It's going to tell you about the power of divide and conquer. Okay? I assume all of you have seen these algorithms. Okay, I'll review them when I need them. Okay? But so we're going to concentrate more on the analysis in here. Okay? Which sometimes gets very subtle.
Okay, and interesting.
Any questions? Okay. So why do we sort? First of all, because again, this is the most important thing to know. Very simple, but people seem to get it wrong. Why do you sort? Well, one reason is to do binary search. You have an array of n things, it's sorted, you can do speed up search to log n time. You don't need your balanced binary search trees, you don't need any other high powered machinery. Just sorting and binary search, and you've got log n time. Under what kind of situation is sorting and binary search a good thing? Can you get away without full binary trees? Okay. Why are balanced binary trees sometimes better than just sorting and searching? Yeah? Well, why not balanced binary searches? Why are balanced binary search trees still a good thing even though we now know how to sort? Okay, yeah? You can do insertions and deletions. You can change your data and do those other operations, insertions and deletions, and still keep the log n searching. Okay, that you can't do with a sorted array. Okay, but if you're not going to do insertions and deletions, insertions are a good thing. Okay? Suppose I give you a set of n numbers, and I say, find me the two that are closest to each other. Give me an algorithm for finding the pair of numbers that are closest to each other. I give you a set of n numbers. How do you do it? Any ideas? Yeah?
Right, if the numbers are sorted, I claim the closest pair of numbers are going to have to be next to each other in sorted order. Right? Let's think about this for a second. Why is that? Well, suppose the sorted pair of numbers were not, the closest pair of numbers were not together when you sorted them. That means there's some other number between them, right? Well, there's some number that is less than this guy, that is between this and this, the closest pair of numbers is these guys, or these guys, right? So I claim that, again, if you sort, if you want to find the closest pair of numbers which are sorted, which are next to each other, you can sort it in n log n and then do a linear time sweep to find the closest pair. Any questions about that algorithm? What if we don't do it with sorting? How do you find the closest pair of numbers? Can someone suggest another way of doing it? A quadratic way to do it. Yeah?
compare, basically, try all, for all I goes from one to end, for all J goes to one to end, are you guys the closest pair? If so, save them someplace. If not, keep looking. Okay? So, basically, by you can compare all pair with brute force, or you can use sorting to do it in N log N. Yeah. If you want to say, can you do something like a bubble sort? Well, something like a bubble sort will eventually leave it sorted. And so something like that will... That may work, okay? It's still an N-squared thing. My algorithm was easier, so I'm not going to worry about you, okay? But the details, you know, sort of not obvious. Any questions?
Okay. So what else can we do if we sort? Suppose I want to tell whether or not all my elements are unique. Remember, we had this problem with this way of doing disjointness. Are my set of elements, you know, his algorithm didn't work right if we didn't have all the elements in our list were unique. How do you take a set of n elements and see if there's no duplicates? Does someone suggest an algorithm for that? Yeah. If you sort of two identical things will be neighbors. And so in a linear pass through them, you can find, you know, if there's no such pair, all the elements are unique. Okay? Sorting does the job. Any questions? Suppose you want to find the most frequently occurring element in a set of data. I give you n items. Which is the most frequently occurring element? The mode. How do you find the mode? What's the first step? Should I now say sort it? Okay? Now, once you sort it, what good does that do? So, right, once we have the thing sorted, the elements are going to naturally occur in runs of identical elements. Basically, you walk through the array keeping your finger to where did the runs change, right? And say, okay, well, you know, I'm now at the first element here. Where does it change? Look ahead. Oops, it changed. How many was that? Move your pointer up, walk up here, pop, pop, pop. Okay? Why is that linear? We go all three elements essentially once if you do this properly. Okay? And so you find the mode that way. Any questions? Okay? What if you want to find the median? The median element is the one that has the same number of elements that are greater than it as less than it. How do you find the median? Okay, sort it, okay? And then look at the middle element in the array, okay? And that will give you the median. Okay, there in fact is a theoretically faster algorithm, but if my back was to the wall, this is how I would do it. Okay, then log n to find the median. Any questions? Okay? So there's lots of things you can do once you know how to sort, okay? And knowing how to use that is enough to get amazingly far just by sorting it, a set of items, and doing something with it. Any questions? Okay. So let's now look at sorting algorithms. And maybe the simplest sorting algorithm, that is, maybe my favorite simple sorting algorithm, is something called selection sort. Does anybody, have people heard of selection sort? What is selection sort? Somebody? Right. So if I want to selection sort the I numbers 4, 12, 3, 19, 21, 6. Okay, basically we go through and want to sort them from smallest to highest. So we go through and find where is the largest number, copy that out, put that the smallest number, put that one first, delete it from the set. Right, and now repeat the operation. How can we easily implement this in one array? Go through the delete the operation and leave the thing sorted in the same array? How do we go and do the deletion?
Swap
the first element with that element, right? And now go through, who's the smallest element of the bunch? 4. 4, swap 12. Who's the smallest remaining element? It's 6. How much time does selection sort take? Yeah? Okay. How much time does selection sort take? Let's think about it. How many passes are we going to make to sort an element with an array with n elements? N or n minus 1, it doesn't really make any difference, okay? But basically, we've got to make a pass through for every element. That's n passes. How much time will the ith pass take? N minus I. Okay? Is N minus I order I? Order N? Does everybody agree with that? So certainly N times order N is order N squared. Okay? Does it actually take N squared time to do it? How much time does it take? Well, let's think of what it takes. I claim it will take theta of n squared time. That in fact selection sort does take a constant times n squared time to do. Why is that? We agree the last pass. How much time will the last pass take? One step, okay? So that pass is cheap. But how much will the first n over 2 pass take? Can someone tell me at least how much, right, the first n over 2 selection, each one of them will involve looking at least how many different elements? N over 2, right? So does everyone believe that this total is going to be greater than or equal to? Just counting those n over 2 paths, each of them takes at least n over 2. The total work is at least n squared over 4. Does everybody agree with that? So in fact, doing selection sort in this way will take n squared time. Not just an upper bound, but the upper bound is big O Y's height. Any questions? Many people see that. Okay? Many people don't see it. Okay? Well, I ask the question. Okay? So we agree that selection sort is an n squared operation, right? Okay. How many people have heard of heap sort? Okay. How many people have never heard of heap sort before? Okay, no one will admit to it. Heap sort is a different sorting algorithm, it seems. What does heap sort do? It takes the n elements, builds a heap on them. Remember we talked about heaps? We now build a heap in this array. What is in the first element of a heap? Of the heap after we have, let's say we organize it so that the largest element is on top of the heap. Okay, so what is going to be in the first element of our array if we build a heap on the whole thing? Largest element. What is in the last element in the array? Smallest? Is it the smallest? No, it's the one that's in the last element in the array. You can't get any guarantees of it. It's not necessarily the smallest. Why? Before I just build the heap, after I build the heap. Okay? We agree that a heap was sort of very organized tightly here. The order sort of diffuses as you get further down the heap, right? So how is heap sort going to work? I build a heap. How much time does it take to build a heap on n items? How much? Order n times, right? We talked about that last class. You didn't believe my analysis, it was n log n. Okay, that we should have believed. Okay? Once we have this, what if we delete the largest element and instead take the largest element from the heap, swap the guy who was in the end spot, put this person in the root position. Okay? The largest element is the last one in sorted order, right? So that's in the right spot now, correct? But what is it that we have left here? Before we had a nice heap on all the elements, now we've deleted the last element from the heap. No longer there.
put somebody else on top instead of this guy. Is this now a heap?
Not
necessarily. How do we make it a heap? We got to bubble this element down, right? This is a heap. That's a heap. This element is a root. You've got to bubble it down with the heapify operation that we had, right? How much time does heapify take on this n element heap? How much? Log n. So what is our basic operation going to be? Delete the max, swap, and heapify. How many times are we going to do that? How many times? N. How much will each of those operations take? Log n time. Does everybody agree with that? So heap sort is in fact a worst case n log n algorithm for sorting. Does everybody, any people believe that? Okay, any questions? Yes?
When you said that the largest one is going to be in the first spot in the array,
yep.
After you swap the two and you bubble it down, what's the guarantee that the next largest element is now
okay, so what are we now doing here? We're now going to start out our... okay, so this is the exact way to do it. Look exactly what we're doing here. We build a heap on the n elements. Now from n down to I, we're going to swap the first element in the array with the ith element. Okay? That as we keep going through this, it's going to repeatedly. First we put in the nth element, n minus first, n minus second. We agree that that swap is going to fill up this side. We now set n minus 1 by reducing the number of elements in the heap. And now heapify what is left. Okay? So what does that mean? In general, we have this heap. Again, I like to draw the picture like this. Okay? We're taking this element that happened to be here in the heap. This element, which was the largest, is getting stuck in the last part of the array. This guy is being moved up to the top. We decrease the count to n minus 1, so we know that this guy, this, there's nothing here anymore in the heap. Okay? And now when we slither this guy, we're building a max heap. We ask, is this element larger than this element or that element? The largest of the three goes on top. The root guy slides down and keeps sliding until it finds its natural spot. Then we know we have a heap. And we know that of the remaining elements in the heap, who's the one on top? Largest one, right? So the largest element after deleting the first one is the second largest overall. And so that's why with correctness we can slide it in next to it. Any questions? Okay, any questions about heap sort? Now, what is the lesson of heap sort? Okay, there's a very powerful lesson here. Okay? Is that heap sort is really telling us, whenever you have an algorithm problem, you ask, can you use a faster data structure? We saw selection sort. What was selection sort? 4i goes from 1 to n, find the smallest element in the array, pull it out and put it first. Right? That was selection sort, right? What are we doing here? What's that first step? Find the minimum, right? What's the second step? Delete the minimum from the array, right? So what is this, okay? This is really the same thing conceptually as heap sort, isn't it? Isn't selection sort and heap sort doing the same thing? The only difference between the only interesting difference between selection sort and heap sort is the data structure that is being used to maintain that. Right? So what do we do with what is the time of these operations if we use the selection sort in an array? How much time does it take to find the smallest of the items, remaining items, order n? How much time does it take to delete it? Constant, right? That's how, if it was in the selection sort case,
They were using a dictionary to FIRDQ, where Feynman took linear time and pulled it out of the array, and delete min took constant time. What are we doing when we replace it with a heap? Feynman now takes what? Okay, constant time. But how fast is now delete min? Logarithmic time, right? So really the only thing, this is an important thing to see here, okay? That really the heap sort is simply saying, can we substitute a different dictionary data structure, a different priority queue data structure to be precise, and get better performance? Okay? Any questions? Yes? Well, heap sort performs, for heap sort to work, you had to do some reprocessing of building the heap, right? So, you're right in saying I had to do my reprocessing. I showed you that reprocessing of building the heap could be as little as linear time. But even if we did it with the brute force analysis of n log n, that would be n log n to build the heap plus n log n to finish the job. What is that? N log n plus n log n is n log n. Okay? So it really, the preprocessing costs got swallowed up here. Okay? But conceptually, it's the same algorithm. That's the important point here. Any questions? Okay? Any other questions about that? So heap sort proves that we can sort an n log n. There's no reason to discuss anything else about that. Any questions? Except for one thing. I do like to show this slide. This is a heap sort moving. Many of you complain that algorithms is too hard. I'd rather watch television. Okay? So what would be a way to sort of visualize a sorting algorithm? And this is something that I find very helpful sometimes in my head in trying to understand what an algorithm is doing. Or when I'm actually programming it to try to get a sense of what's going on, is an animation of what the algorithm is. So what is this a picture of? This is a picture of a permutation being sorted by heap sort. So what do we mean? Each picture represents the state of the array as a function of time. Okay? So this is the array at one time, this is the array at another time, array at another time. The x-axis represents the index of the array, right? The position, you know, this is A1, A2, A3, .AN. The y-axis represents the value that is in that array, that spot in the array, right? So we're getting a graph, if you wish, of the contents of the array. The y-axis represents the value, y sub i is going to be the value at point x, y here means that in the x position in the array, the value y was. Okay? And so here we assume this goes from 1 to n. Just for the sake of the animation, let's say we're sorting a random permutation of n elements from 1 to n. Okay? So what is this showing me? This is showing me heap sort. As I go through the process, this is my heap. How do I tell it's a heap? Or what do I see about the heap? Well, where is the largest element in that spot? Sure enough, it's in the leftmost position, right? Where the second, notice that right near the top of the heap, the elements are fairly tightly ordered, right? That the top few elements of the heap, which are on the first few levels, all those elements are large. As we go to lower and lower levels of the heap, the elements spread out because there's no guarantee of what the order is, right? Now, what are we doing? We're constantly taking the last element, putting the largest element there, swapping this guy in, and reheaping it. So what's happening? As time goes by, we're pulling up larger and larger elements. This is the sorted part of the array. It's moving along and squashing the heap. And eventually, the heap gets squashed out of existence, right? That's what heap sort is doing. Any questions about how to read this movie? Okay. It ends happily with the permutation completely sorted, right? Then that means that the ith value is I. Okay? Any questions? What about when we build a heap? Okay, here's where actually they started out with a random permutation. Again, this is sort of show you, this is their initial random permutation of dots. When you build this heap, what is the story of this moving? Well, it looks like they're starting to build heaps. Again, I'm not completely sure I know how they're doing it. But the basic story is it doesn't look like this story, not too much happens. Until at the end, we have a heap. And you can tell the heap is such that there's a tight ordering at the top, but there's a much looser ordering. In fact, relatively little ordering among the leaves. Okay? That's why heaps are not good for searching. They're only good for finding, you know, either the max or the min, depending on how it's set up. Any questions? Okay, that's enough about heap sorting.
Any other questions? Okay? What I'd like to now talk about is a quicksort. Okay? So let's talk about the quicksort algorithm. And quicksort is an example. How many people have seen quicksort before? Everybody's seen quicksort. Okay? Now, quicksort is a very subtle algorithm. Okay? It's one of these things that you've seen. You could probably quote it to me. You could program it. But really understanding how quicksort works requires a little sophistication. Okay, and why the time complexity is what it is. Okay, so I want to make sure that you come out of this understanding why quicksort is as fast as they say it is. Okay, because the ideas behind quicksort are interesting and used in other kinds of algorithms as well. Okay, that's why I think it's worth going through the analysis, at least sort of. So what is the idea for quicksort? Quicksort is based on the idea of partitioning. Okay? So what do we say with quicksort? I give you an unsorted array of elements. Okay? And I say pick one of the elements in the array. Let's say the last one. And I now go through and put all the elements less than it and put them on the left side of the array. All the elements that are greater than it, put that on the right side of the array. And then put the element itself in the appropriate slot. Okay? This is based on this is what we call the pivoting operation. Okay? You pick an element, and you then partition the elements around the pivot. Any questions? How much time does it take to give it an array, okay, and to do that partitioning? So suppose I give you an array of n elements. I tell you I want you to pivot it, partition it based on the last element in the array. How much time does it take to do that?
N.
Why is it order n? First of all, when you say why is it order n, to show me that you have to show me a procedure that does it, right? Can you show me a procedure to do the pivoting, the partitioning of that array in n out time? Yes. Okay, so what you want is to compare the first element. What are you going to do when you compare the first element? If it's less than the pivot, what are we going to do? Keep it there. If it's greater than the pivot element, what are we going to do? Swap. So you're going to put this guy y there. So if this was, let's say, y and z. We're going to keep y. Okay, if y is less than x, we leave it. Okay, and then we move our pointer in. And we have reduced our problem by 1, right? Done 1 unit of work and reduced the problem by size 1, right? What, on the other hand, if we, what do you call it? If on the other hand y is greater than z, if x is, y is greater than x, we're now going to do what? We put y over here, put z here. How have we reduced our work? We don't have to go up to here anymore, right? This guy's now in the right spot as far as partitioning goes, right? So in one comparison, we can throw an element on the appropriate left or right side, depending upon how it belongs. Does everybody agree with that? And by keeping a pointer to where the less than L is, or greater than, you know, less than X line and the greater than x line. Okay? I feel like, to be precise, this will be the less than or equal to x line. And this will be, I have to be consistent here. And we have to put all duplicates on the right, on the same side. Okay, if you want to be correct. Okay? But we agree this takes linear time. Why? Because I'm going to, for every comparison, take the next element to the left of, right of this pointer, compare it with that, then I either bop this up or I swap it and bop this one up. Right? And ultimately, what do I have? I have all the elements less than or equal to x here. I have all the elements greater than x here. And I have that element x here. How do I put this guy into, what do I do with this guy now? With who? So if I swap this guy here with this element, now everything here is less than or equal to x, right? Actually, what if I did it where everything here is less than x? And let me do this a little bit more precisely here, because I want to make sure the property I want to have is going to work out. Suppose I insist that all these elements are less than x. Suppose these elements are greater than or equal to x, and this is x. Where do I swap now? Okay. Yeah. Which one? Make it the same one I think we said? I put it on this guy. I swap this guy with this guy. Right? This is now x. This is greater than or equal to x. This is still greater than or equal to x. Right?
But
was it fine before? It may have been fine before. But let me tell you what I think is good about this. It may also have been good about the other. Okay? Now I want to claim, not only is all these guys less than x, I want to claim that x is now in the right spot. Okay? Does everybody agree with this? That there's a second property that's very interesting here, which might also have been true of the other one, but for some reason I think this is easier to show here, at the very least. I claim that after I've done this partitioning, x is in the right spot. Does everybody agree with that? Okay? So what is interesting about quicksort?
Okay? Quicksort is that I did a pivot. It took me n time to do the pivot. Okay? And I ended up with
these elements neatly partitioned and also with x in the right spot. Any questions about that? Okay?
So that's a good thing. What's the punchline? Well, we know that because the pivot element is in the right spot, okay,
we don't have to do any other sorting. You know, this element doesn't ever have to move again, right? Because it's in the right spot. What's the work that is left to do to finish sorting the job? Yeah? Well, you have to sort the elements, you can do it how you wish. Okay, but the important thing is we haven't finished the sorting job. But we could sort all of these guys and sort all of those guys. And the amazing thing is that if we do sort them independently, we get the correct global sort now. Right? This is the important thing to see. This is why it works. Okay? Is that once we have done this partitioning, none of these guys are ever going to want to live on this side, right? None of these guys are ever going to want to live on that side. Okay? So the job reduces to sorting these two smaller halves. Okay? Any questions? Okay? Now, how much work will that take? Okay? That now requires a little bit of careful analysis. But the correctness of quicksort. Okay, this is why quicksort is correct. Okay, it gives us a recursive algorithm. Basically, in order to sort, let me actually go back and do this.
in order to sort and out the elements in the array from the ith position to the jth position. What we're first going to do is do a partition of the elements from the lowth to height, the ith to jth position. Then we quick sort the elements to the left of the pivot, quick sort the elements to the right of the pivot, and this is a correct sorting algorithm. Okay? We could have been just as correct if we said call heap sort and heap sort here. Right? But the efficiency, the nice thing, the amazing thing about the recursion is that it is correct if we, you know, use quick sort. Okay? Because if quick sort sorts the whole thing correctly, it must sort these small pieces correctly. Okay? So quick sort is this amazing random, you know, recursive algorithm for sorting. Any questions? Okay? Any questions about the correctness of quick sort? Okay? The efficiency of quick sort is an interesting story we haven't dealt with just yet. Okay? But any questions about the correctness of quick sort? Okay? I hear the question, well, what does it look like on television? Okay? So let's look at this one for a second. Okay? So what is quick sort doing? Remember what our situation is? We have a permutation, a picture of the array. Okay? And each dot represents an element in the array. So what happens when we pick a pivot element and do a partitioning? The first event in our quicksort thing was we picked this pivot element and we partitioned it. What happened after partitioning? All the elements greater than it are to the left of it. That's what this white space means, right? All the elements greater than this pivot, all the elements to the right of it are greater than it. And all the elements to the left of it are less than it. That's why we have these black rectangles up here. Everybody see that? So this was kind of a nice first step. We got a lot of the order in the array. What was our second partition? Does anybody see where the second partition was? This guy, right? Not a very good partition, was it? Okay? Because what happened? Here we had chopped this big disordered rectangle into a relatively small disordered rectangle and a big disordered rectangle, right? Didn't make us too much progress. Where was the next pivot element that we did? Okay, it's right over here. Was this one nice? Yeah, got a lot of white space, okay? Because it sort of seems like it split it sort of in half. Okay, and what's sort of happening when we do the squeezing? Basically, every time we do a pivoting, hopefully we take one of these disordered rectangles and squash it into, basically squeeze it in the middle so that it becomes a bow tie. That's our dream. And if we bow tie everybody, we eventually get something that's sorted or close to sorted. Any questions? Okay? That's sort of the scheme of quicksort. Any questions? Okay. What is the time that quicksort takes? Okay, let's think a little bit about how much time quicksort takes in the best of all possible worlds. Okay, so when I go through the analysis here, and it's important to see why quicksort is, I don't know, you probably know the punchline that it's n log n in the average case, right? You've probably seen that. But why is it? Let's make sure we understand why. Why is quicksort? What does quicksort do in the best case? Okay? We're picking a pivot element. Okay? What is the best possible pivot element? We got very lucky. Okay? Who would our pivot element be? It would be in the middle of the array. Okay? Why would that be good? Because remember, we want to take this unsorted blob and squash it down nicely. Create white space. Okay? So I will argue that the most ordering is going to happen when we pick, the element we pick happens to be the median of the subarray. Okay? What happens if we pick the guy that's the first element in sorted order? What have we accomplished? Well, after doing n work, you found the smallest one.
But these guys are still unsorted, right? So it's like you did selection sort, right? And that gets us towards our quadratic time behavior. That's leading us nowhere. Okay? But what happens if we pick the median element? How much time will it take? Okay? Let's think how we think about it. But what are we actually going to be doing? I'll show you how I think about it. Okay? I like to draw a tree of what the computation time is. Originally, I'm sorting an array of n elements, right? If I got very lucky, the median guy is now in place. And the array is now split into two arrays of size 1/2, right? How much work did I do? Okay, in terms of, let's count exact comparisons, just to be precise. 10. Why? Because then what did I do? I compared the last element against all the other ones. That was something like n minus 1, right? Comparisons. I might as well say n. So this is the number of elements. This is the work. Okay? Now I've got two elements arrays, each of which have half the elements in it. What am I going to do when I now recursively call it on this guy? Suppose I'm very lucky. I should be in Vegas instead of doing quick sorting. Okay? What would happen? I can get the middle.
Recursively.
Okay? How much time did it take for me to partition these n over 2 elements? N over 2 minus 1 steps. Does everyone agree with that? Okay, here I had n over 2 minus 1. Here I had n minus 1. Here I had n over 2 minus 1. How much would I have done on the other side of this? If I do it recursively, I'm now going to split this guy up again. Right? If I do it in a depth first thing, it's going to happen deeply. How deep is it going to go until my recursion has stopped?
Log n,
but why is it log n?
Because it's recursive.
No, it's recursive. Because I'm constantly dividing it by 2. I'm starting out with n elements. And I say have it. I say have it again. Have it again. Have it again. Until when am I done? When I've got one element left, right? Then it's sorted. Right? So I'm really asking you, how many times do you have it? N. So we're going to go X until you get down to 1. Right? Is that what I'm asking? And if I rearrange this thing that says N equals 2 to the X, what is X going to be? What is the solution to this equation, N equals 2 to the X? X equals log N. Right? So if I do this thing, the height of my tree is going to be log n. Does everybody agree with that? This is important. If you don't understand it, this is a good question. Why is it log n? It's a very good question. Anybody want to ask a very good question? Any questions? Okay. It's because we keep having it, and we can't keep having it once you get one element and you're done. Okay. So we have a tree here, basically, that's of height log n. But how much work are we doing at each level of the tree? It's the way I want to count it. You said, well, it's n, but why is it n? Let's not be so fast and loose, okay? Why is it? Here we have, you told me, n over 2 minus 1 comparisons here, right? How much is it on this other part? We've got very lucky. This is going to be n over 2 minus 1, or 2 times n over 2 minus 1. Everybody agree with that? What does that work out to? That's n minus 2, right? What's going to happen at the next level? This element's no longer interesting. How big is each subarray on the third level going to be?
Okay. N over 4, let's forget this plus or minus 1, okay? This is confusing. Okay? But basically, we've got something like the N elements, if it's evenly partitioned, you've got 4 chunks, each of which has N over 4 elements. N over 4 elements, excuse me. How much work does it take to partition each one of those chunks? How much work does it take to partition a chunk of N over 4 elements? N over 4. Okay? Don't forget about the spot here. 4 times N over 4 is what? N. Is N. Again, that's to get the spot. Okay? So what is in general going to be the case at the ith level? When we go I levels down, how big, if we always perfectly divide it, how big is each chunk going to be? N over I? How big is it going to be? How big is each chunk going to be if we go I levels down? Is it N over I? So that means that after we go log N levels down, we have N over log N pieces. How big are the pieces? I hear N over 2 to the I. Okay, does everybody sort of agree with that now? Is this the right formula? We have these here in the size N. It keeps getting halved. Okay, number of pieces. Well, actually, let's stop and think about that. Is that how big each piece, how many pieces we have? Okay. This is about, what are we counting, first of all? Is it the number of pieces or the size of the piece? Size of the piece was going to be N over 2 to the I, maybe it's I minus 1 plus 1, it depends how you count. Okay? What's the difference between 2 to the I, N over 2 to the I, or N over 2 to the I plus 1? Just dividing it by an extra factor of 2 or so, right? Let it be a little sloppy here. But what's the basic vision? This is how big each chunk is. How many chunks do I have of this size? 2 to the I chunks. How much time does it take on each chunk? On each chunk? Basically proportional to its size, right? So the total amount of work done at each layer in the tree is how much? And why is it? It's because 2 to the I times N over 2 to the I is N. Does everybody agree with that? Can someone give me a more intuitive argument that the level of work at each node, the amount of work done at each level in the tray, is N? Okay? Yeah?
You can keep breaking it into different chunks. The number of elements in each complete layer or level will be roughly N. You can do this with maybe 1 or 2.
Okay. My way of thinking about it is more like, what's going to happen to every element? Every element is only going to be looked at once on its level, right? There's an element that's sitting here on this side of the array. It's going to get partitioned once. What goes on this side of the array doesn't matter to it, does it? So each element is only going to be touched once, except for the pivot. We'll not count the touching of the pivot, okay? But all the other elements, basically, are being, the pivot's only being moved once, okay? All the elements are being touched only once at each level of the tree. Does everybody see that? Each element might move a lot, but it's going to move at most a logarithmic number of times, once per level. Any questions? Okay? So what is the reason why this algorithm is N log N? If I count the work done at each level of the tree, it is N. Okay? How many levels in the tree are there?
log n. N times log n is work it does if I get perfect division every time. Any questions about that? Okay? It's good to ask a question if you don't understand this. Okay? Good analysis to see. Okay? So where does the log come from? That's the first question. Where does the log come from? Okay? In this case, it comes from the height of the recursion tree. That's really where it is coming from. That it's in this best split, the recursive tree is of logarithmic height. Any questions? Okay? Okay? Very good. Okay. So this is why the best case is n log n.
What is the worst case? Let's think about the worst case of quicksort. Okay.
So in the worst case of quicksort, what would the worst case of quicksort be? What would happen when I did my partition step? What would happen when if I got unlucky, if I looked at my median pivot? What would happen? My pivot, where would it ultimately sit? Smallest or largest, right? It sits at one end of the array. Instead of squashing my bone die, I end up dribbling it off a little bit, chunking off a little piece. Okay? So what would that mean for my argument here? After I spend linear time, what is going to happen? I've got this, right? How much work did this do on this level to get to this point? N. Now, what if I now recur on this level? And again, suppose I'm very unlucky. Okay? What would happen if I revert? What would happen if I pick this? What's going to happen now? Maybe this time, just for variety, I happen to pick the smallest one. I'm unlucky, but unlucky in a different way. How much time will it take to have gone through these n minus 1 elements? N minus 1. Well, why do you give me credit for that? Okay, I saved one. Big deal. Okay? What's going to happen the next time I go through this thing? I will now spend n minus 2 steps. How long will it be? What's going to be the ultimate end of this situation? Okay? I mean, the ultimate thing is I finally end up with every element sorted like this, right? How tall will my tree be? N. How much work do I do at each level? Do I do N work at each level? N minus I, right? So the last level, I'm only doing one step. The level before that, I'm only doing two steps. Okay, level before that, I'm doing only three steps. How much total work am I doing? Well, one way to do it is let's compute it exactly. Again, you've seen this before. What is the sum as I goes from 1 to n of I? Has anyone ever seen this expression before? What is this going to be? N times, what do we say, n plus 1? Over 2. Okay? Can anyone come up with a reason why that might be the right answer or close to it? Yeah? I mean, I explained this formula, okay? We'll always prove things by induction, but let's try to understand where this formula is coming in. Yeah?
You're taking the first number and you're taking the last number, adding it, and you kind of figure that there's about half the number of total numbers between them. Like, for example, you take 1 and 100, that's 101. Half that is 55,
okay.
And you have 50 occurrences.
So one way to do it would be, one way to think about it might be to say, the average number here is about n over 2. N times n over 2 is about what we get here, right? A more precise way to think about it is to say that if you take n and pair it up with 1, you get n plus 1, right? Take n minus 1 and pair it up with 2, you get n minus. So that's
n over 2 pairs times n plus 1. Okay? So this proves to you that this is, if it's equal to n times n plus 1 over 2, what is it big O-wise? N squared. Okay? Does everybody agree with that? This is the O of n squared, and in fact, theta of n squared. Okay? So if we get unlucky, okay, this will take n squared times. If we get lucky, it will take n times. Okay? Any questions? Okay? Now, before we get into the question of what happens if you're, you know, so if you're lucky, you do well. If you're unlucky, you get screwed. Okay? What can we do to improve our luck? Okay? Any ideas? What? Well, so let's just start. So one possibility would be if I randomly pick three elements, or maybe pick the left, the middle, and the right one. Okay, I take the median of those three. Why is that likely to improve my luck? I'm not going to get the min or max. Do I get any? Is that strong enough? Is that a strong enough guarantee to guarantee that I get n log n? No, because what happens if instead you can do this? I really want you to be unlucky. I want to rain on your parade. Okay, you might end up with two elements split off each time. Now you've got a height of n over 2. Okay, big deal. Still quadratic. But that's why you use median of 3 is to try to improve your luck. Okay? But what is your luck? Does your luck really need improving? Okay? And I think next class I'm going to talk... What time do we have left for now?
Zero.
What? Zero? Okay. So in that case, next class we'll see how to improve your luck, okay? Or how to see how good your luck likely is or not. Before you go, though,
here are the homework assignments. So spread them out
and get what you want.
Oh, I don't have them right now.
What's that?